You're listening to Talk of the Rock with your hosts Kayla Darroch and Mitch Borden. Today we are talking about an ongoing issue, an ongoing concern, but one that is especially clear right now because of a violent incident that happened in Florida, the shooting at Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School on February 14th. 17 were killed. And we have a few school administrators with us here today and also a representative from the Kodiak Police Department. We have Lieutenant DJ Klumpner, Larry Ledoux, Superintendent of Schools with the Kodiak Island Borough School District, Mel Levan, Kodiak High School Principal, and Melissa Halfman, Kodiak Middle School Principal. Thank you guys so much for joining us today to talk about this issue. It's hard to know even where to start with this, why don't we just start to talk about some of the reactions you guys have been hearing following this incident. What concerns have you heard from parents, from teachers? What is the environment from your perspective right now?
Well, this is Mel Levin. I think at Kodiak High School, my sense is that the students, and that's a very understandable thing, the students want to be able to go to school and feel that they're safe. And I think that the shooting definitely put them in a space where they're uncertain. They're trying to be active, to have a voice. But when I walk the halls, I mean, they want to look to the adults in the building to give them reassurance that the place that they come to learn is a safe place.
Have many students talked to you, Mel, like specifically?
Not too many directly. I've had conversations with the student council, letting them know ongoing actions that we're taking to try to improve the safety of the building. They're reaching out to me. They're formulating their own political stance on the issues, as the principal, I don't weigh in on that, but certainly I support the right for students to have discussions about topics like this and try to understand the different sides of the issues. As no one's in support of school violence, but there's definitely different issues on how to approach reducing it.
Has the reaction been any different in the Kodiak Middle School, or is there a difference in how younger students process this kind of thing?
I would say yes, there has been a reaction at the middle school. We had a student walkout last week, and that was not sanctioned by the school, just the same. We handle it the same as Dr. Levan is talking about. I think our middle school students were following the lead of what they thought the high school was doing. And they are aware of what's happening across the country because a lot of them have phones and are tapped into social media. I can tell you that our students were not well organized. Staff did not organize this event. The students, we had about a half hour heads up. So our role in the school is we believe that we need to keep kids safe. And so when we had about 75 students walk out, we had staff accompany them purely to make sure that they were out of the street, they were on the sidewalk, that they were safe. And we got all students back to the school within 25 minutes and accounted for. I'm very appreciative of school staff that helped us do that. I can say that for the teachers are taking another and harder look at their protocols in the classroom, really thinking through how we handle different situations. They are seeking more clarity and a renewed look at it, building on all the work that's always happened in the district regarding student safety.
Has there been any word of a walkout as far as the high school students go?
Well, there's been rumors of it, and I've prepared my staff for an appropriate response, and we just stand by. We're obviously not orchestrating any protest coming out of the building, but I don't know when and if that's going to happen.
Is that something that the school district supports, a walkout, this kind of stand?
Well, I mean, in general, anything that disrupts the education in the building, we're not going to support. But if students choose to walk out of their classrooms at the high school, just like at the middle school, they'll be marked unexcused absent. But it's not viewed as just the simple act of walking out isn't viewed as a major discipline event.
So what happened in Parkland and so many other schools is a tragedy and almost unimaginable. How do you guys go about preparing your teachers and students for the unimaginable?
Hi, this is Larry Ledoux. When we talk about this topic, it's almost like a nightmare coming to life. And I think every teacher and administrator in the district lives it every day as we think about the safety of our students. And a lot of our reaction in the district has been ongoing for a long time, much prior to this incident. We've brought in consultants to help us understand what we can do and what would be the appropriate response if it does happen. We're prepared to react for a number of possibilities, but mostly, besides that, we've also been concentrating on prevention, and I think that's very important. We want to make sure that we have an environment where kids are sharing. If they know something might happen, that they have an adult that they can share that with so that we can intervene. In many of the instances that have happened around the country, they have found that other students were aware of it and did not share. And we want to make sure that we have that dialogue with students, that they know that if they do hear something, they will find an adult, whether it's a parent, a school official, a counselor, or a local police officer, that they will share that with us so that we can react. But we also believe prevention is a result of a good counseling program and a very positive school climate. It's been said, and I believe, that a child will pay any price to belong. And I think we need a school environment that every student can find a niche where they feel like they belong. And that's a result of, you know, good counseling, effective instruction, lots of activities, and reasonable rules that are enforced, and proper consequences. So you need effective discipline. And we have to have good parent communication, that parents trust administration enough that they will share what's going on without being afraid. And I think the other thing that is on our mind all the time is we realize that it can happen here. There is no illusions that it's always going to be out there. It can happen here. When I was high school principal in the 90s, Principal Edwards, the principal of Bethel High School, about 21 years ago, 2 weeks ago, was shot and killed by a student at Bethel High School along with another student. And when they did a post analysis of that event, they found that not only did students know what might happen, there were some ready to take pictures of what was happening. And it's something you never forget. He was principal at the time, I was a principal. It can happen. But we're doing everything we can to make sure that we have that positive environment, that kids are connected, and that they have enough trust in adults that they'll share. I do want to say, and I believe this is very important, one of the advantages that we have in Kodiak is that we have a very, very strong relationship with the Kodiak Police Department, the state troopers. They're really our partners. For many years, the Kodiak Police Department has provided an officer in the schools that the kids know, that they can talk to, that provides immediate assistance to administrators, and that's a real commitment. I think Lieutenant Klumpner can talk about those relationships, but we're trying to prevent the activity. I will also say that we have a lot of protocols in place in case it occurs. And it's the dark side of what we do. It's things that we're looking at almost every possibility and what we can do to be ready. This Friday, our district safety committee will be meeting. And this is an ongoing group of people that will monthly evaluate what we're doing, mine the wisdom of our community, and make sure that we're doing everything that we can to be able to prevent and respond to any kind of event that challenges the safety of our kids.
You know, in a lot of what you said, it seems like communication and trust is needed with your students. And how do y'all go about establishing those safe spaces for students to talk and be honest?
We do that through
In our case with the police department, we have a school resource officer who's up there, and they develop relationships with the students. We've also started having officers stop by while they're on duty and simply walk through a different school each day. Just to have that presence at a different time and meet the kids, kind of put a face to the police department a little bit. We've done that to a certain degree as long as I've been here, but we've let recent events have had us to look at that and do it every day. So that gets a little more exposure to the officers and we get more familiar with the schools.
We offer a counseling program as well, and actually to build off of what you said, we've been very appreciative of the officers coming through and our kids getting to know every officer on the police force. So the counseling program, we have our school district counselors, but we also have a partnership with PKIMC. So to build your question, how do we build the trust with our students? I believe it's in small acts. For kids, it's for my first year being principal, I found that a lot of students, you know, being able to come into the principal's office with their concerns, and even if they're small concerns, and honoring that so that over time they realize that they do have trusted adults, not only their teachers, but administration and counseling. So there's multiple people they can connect with.
The day of the shooting, my son John, who's attending Avtech in Seward, he's just a recent graduate of Kodiak High School, he called me. I mean, he's counseling me as the principal. He called me and said, you know, regardless of what you do, never put a person in a position of having no hope. And I think what we're talking about when we're trying to connect kids with the appropriate people to listen to them, our counselors or trusted adults, is that that's the space we want to stay in. We want to always, regardless of what a student does, we always want to put them in a safe place where there is hope. There is hope for them for the future.
So in October of last year, I believe, the Kodiak Police Department put the middle school and high school on lockdown due to a possible threat of violence. What did you guys learn from that incident?
Well, I would say one of the things we learned the most was how social media is used, that as soon as we locked down the building, students were texting, and it was on national news, if you will, before we even were finished. We'll go to lockdown if any event is determined by administration or the police where the safety of students may be compromised, and we'll stay in that mode until we know what's happening. But one of the things that we've learned is how to effectively communicate to the public, to parents, so that they're not finding out information from their child that's in a classroom instead of from us. So we've been talking with the police department and our own ability to communicate with families so that we get information out to them right away so they don't wonder what's happening with their child.
What should parents do if there is a lockdown? Like, should they call the police? Should they wait?
I would be careful with them calling because it can start to overwhelm some of the local phone systems, nor also showing up at the school is not going to help the situation at all.
We have the capability now to call 2,000 parents within just a few seconds, and so we put some announcements together that if we do have a lockdown, we can send out information immediately to parents to let them know what's going on, or at least what we know and what we can tell them, and also to let them know, too, that if they come up to the school, they won't be allowed in because a lockdown means we close down access to the building. But we have learned to communicate as soon as possible so that they don't, again, pick it up over what they read on Friends of Kodiak or some other social media.
To turn back a little bit to what to do in the case of a possible violent incident, what... Say that you're caught in the middle of it as it happens. You're a teacher. What is there a certain 1, 2, 3 that you can do, ABC?
Well, from a law enforcement perspective, there's always an acronym. It used to be run, hide, fight. Now it's avoid, deny, defend. It's basically the same thing again. But, you know, avoid the threat. You know, that means get the heck out of the building quickly. If you can't, then it's deny, which would be the same as hide. Barricade yourself in somewhere. Turn your cell phone off so they won't hear it. Be very quiet. You know, and the last thing is, if that is breached, fight.
What does that mean? What does that mean to defend?
to defend.
Yeah.
Grab anything you can. Throw something. Do anything you can.
So you would suggest actively trying to deflect, to fight back?
After you've exhausted everything else, yes.
Okay. And I guess that kind of connects to what President Trump was saying. He suggested that...
There was... so recently there's been some who suggested arming teachers. And I guess I would just be interested in knowing y'all's opinions of that option some people bring up to keep students safe.
We haven't discussed that in terms of policy. The school board would have to talk about that and reach a conclusion, or the state legislature or the federal government with regard to that kind of policy. So I don't have any ready opinion one way or the other. As I said, our best defense is prevention, and in response, the policy on guns is well beyond our level to make a decision.
In the fall after the lockdown event, our resource officer, Jeff Holden, arranged so that I could shadow behind active shooter training that the FBI was conducting. And I guess my input, it's not countering what Dr. Ledoux said, but my input is a lot's going on in a situation like that. And, I mean, the officers train and train again to be able to make the best possible decision in the split second that they have to make a decision. I personally, I'll just speak for myself as principal, I plan to be on the scene, but I want to be able to use my voice to reason with the person. I'll rely on the trained officers to come in and do the what they need to do if that doesn't work.
So if I were a teacher, what would I be expected to do? Would I be expected to act? Is there an expectation at all for what a teacher should do in that situation? And should they be prepared to know what they should do?
Well, I think you just heard the avoid, confront, defend, and that's what teachers are trained to do. And in different schools, we have different buildings and different challenges, but we train all staff, not just teachers. And if you were in our building, we would expect you to do the same, to avoid.
Avoid, deny, defend.
And that's pretty much what all you can do. What we don't want students to do or adults is to climb under a table, because we know that that's the most dangerous thing you can do. And so regardless of the building, those three steps are very important for people to understand. We know that the police are going to be arriving soon in Kodiak, and they've committed to that. They've trained for it. We know how they're going to respond. How somebody is going to act in any situation, none of us really know until somebody's pointing a gun at us what we're going to do. But we know from other incidences around the country that teachers and adults have risked their lives to defend their students. And we expect that all staff will make good judgments for their safety and the safety of students if something happens. Like I said, we're talking about a nightmare that we hope will never happen, but it's one that we have to confront and prepare for. And that's what we're doing. Today we were talking with our maintenance supervisor of making sure, you know, in every classroom we have our emergency procedures that basically say what to do, and we're updating them right now. But we'll be placing a first aid kit in every classroom. And we're talking to our nurse to say, what should we have in that first aid kit in the event we have wounded students? And again, I hate even talking about it, but we have to think this way. And so the safety committee will be talking about what should be in that. And I will just tell you that the FBI told us the one thing that we should have in every kit is a tourniquet. And so we'll have those, and people will be trained in them. We don't want to spend our time doing this kind of training. We're educators. We're designed to create vision in kids. But we're going to be training staff to do those things to keep kids safe. We have lots of protocols that we don't want to talk about because we don't want to make them public. But we are doing our best to prepare. And we're going to be looking at curtaining off many windows in the high school. So if someone locks down, they won't be surrounded by glass. We've had consultants come in and walk through our buildings and say, here's what you need to do. The police department has been in every one of our buildings saying, here's some things you need to do about your facilities. So it's a constant discussion, and it's been ongoing for a long time.
Lieutenant Klumpner, how does the police department prepare for these situations?
We do a lot of training. You know, even those daily walkthroughs of the school, you know, when you got a few schools in the school district, you got to try to learn the floor plan so you know it. We do what's called active shooter training. Generally, we have one big drill a year, usually pick a school, usually when there's some kind of vacation, either Christmas vacation or spring break is more convenient. And the school has been phenomenal about granting us access for that. But it's just an ongoing process, being aware.
So, as educators, I can't imagine how emotional it must be to hear about these events. And I wonder, you know, when you hear about them and the day after and you have to face your students, like, how do you, you know, greet them and carry on with the school day?
Our teachers have been trying to keep school as normal and safe and predictable for our students to lower their anxiety. The walkout for us was a bit of a surprise. We had anticipated something happening at the high school. But even at that, when the students came in social studies class where it was appropriate, then talked about the issue lightly, but then moved back to regular curriculum materials just to keep a sense of normalcy in this time when it is flooding our media.
Yeah, we had at the high school on the Wednesday after, we had a moment of silence on the day we came back, but on the Wednesday after, students had an opportunity to talk out loud questions and concerns they had. And teachers talked about the need to, you know, if you hear something, say something, or if you see something, say something. And those conversations are ongoing.
Has there been any, have students voiced why this shooting has been such a turning or a spark something in them?
Well, I think they're trying. I mean, as Melissa talked about earlier, I mean, our students are trying to be engaged in the national scene, if you want. And I don't know to the extent that they're being swept along with that or if it's something that's truly Kodiak in origin. But obviously, our students were upset with the shooting that occurred.
Mm-hmm. Our students at the middle school cited that they wanted to show support for the kids in Florida. We have not heard a lot of talk concerning the issues that are surrounding this now, such as the stance on guns. I don't hear that talk in the middle school. So I think the walkout was centered on, from what I understood from the rumors, that it was centered on showing support for fellow students.
And Larry, this might be a hard question, but, you know, right now I feel like the conversation is centered around the schools in or near on the road system. What are the challenges of schools in Kodiak's villages when it comes to the situation?
Well, they're very similar. What one of the challenges in our rural schools is that not all of them have village safety officers that they can respond to. And so what we're trained to do, and I met with the rural staff during in-service 2 weeks ago, and we talked about who they would call. And so we're trained to contact municipalities, or the cities out in our rural sites, to tie into their emergency plan so that the teachers have the ability of, they know who to call and when to come and support the school if something happens. And, you know, there are small things that they talk about. They say small, but just small tweaks that we can do. They're talking about having cameras on their entrances so the secretaries can see who comes in the school and who doesn't. But their concerns are the same as we have in the school district. And so we coordinate, you know, with them because they're part of our school district. So there's really no difference in what we do. The biggest difference is we have so many resources in town ready to show up. In the rural schools, it's not always apparent who they can call. If the public safety officer is out of town, who do they call if something happens? And it's a real concern to the teachers in our rural sites. So far, we've been very lucky through the years, but it's a concern that we're trying to address through better communication.
And just transitioning a little bit back to KPD. So in the case of the Florida shooting, it's come out that a couple of people made complaints to the sheriff at the time, saying that there was something going on with a young person. What is the steps that you take if you get a call like that? Because at what point do we know how far to take the inquiry if there's one person that someone is calling about? How would you approach that?
I'd try to judge the validity of the complaint and then contact a person, talk to them, kind of get an idea of what's going on, and go from there.
And how should people report something or suspicions or just fears of over someone's behavior?
I mean, there's always Crime Stoppers. You can remain anonymous on Crime Stoppers, or you can go ahead and just call the police department and talk to an officer.
Well, it looks like we just have a couple more minutes. Is there anything else you guys feel like we should bring up before our time is up, or something that you want to communicate to listeners?
Well, one thing I would say is we're always willing to listen to new ideas. We've had parents call us and make suggestions, and some of them have been outstanding. So we encourage the community, if they have any ideas that would facilitate safety or something that we can do a better job at, or do something differently that will help improve safety, to please call us. And we're going to try to do a better job communicating to parents what we can about school safety, and so that we're working as active partners.
And what is the first resource a person should go to, a student, if they need a resource?
All of our students are taught to find a trusted adult. And from surveys that our counselors have done, the majority of our students do have at least one trusted adult in the school system. And so we direct them to that person, because sometimes coming into the principal's office can be intimidating. So that's the training that they've always had, and it's now being reiterated with this latest incident.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us today.